We are looking at the end of the book of Joshua and the beginning of the book of Judges. And we are looking at one person. Last week we looked at Nicodemus. You guys remember? We were looking at Nicodemus and his kind of journey of faith. And I wanted to look at one Old Testament character as well. And eventually I decided to go for Othniel. Othniel in Hebrew. Now, this is kind of a lesser known person, but he has a very interesting story. So, why don't we pray? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given it to us to read and enjoy and learn from. Speak to us by your word and by your spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, if we look at Joshua chapter 15, we remember, maybe somebody can remember for me, who was Joshua? He was one of the original spies. Joshua was one of the original spies. And him and Caleb were different than the other spies in that. The other spies didn't have any belief. But Joshua and Caleb did. Right? They had faith. And then, you said Joshua the son of Nun. That is his father's name, actually. Nun in Hebrew. And then we find him much later on. What does he become?
Leader. Servant of the Lord.
The servant of the Lord. And he's the leader of the whole nation of Israel after Moses dies. So where does Joshua become the leader of Israel?
In the promised land. After Moses' death.
Where though?
Mount Sinai.
Almost. You almost got it there. Not quite in the promised land yet. Before they crossed the Jordan. They were right on the edge there, you know, and then Moses died, and Joshua brought the people into the promised land, right?
Yes.
So here's this whole nation of Israel, their great leader, Moses, who God sent to bring them out of Egypt, died, and he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because of his misrepresentation of God by being representing God as being angry. You know, may we never represent God as being angry like that. Anyway, Joshua takes over and he leads the people across the Jordan River, and then there's this great miracle at the Jordan River. They come through, and then there's another great miracle at the city of Jericho, right? And then they go through and they conquer a bunch of different nations, and then they start dividing up the land. So who's going to get what portion? 12 different tribes. Everybody gets their little section or big section, be as it may. But Caleb was the other spy, the other original spy. You remember this? Now, Caleb, he had asked in chapter 14 of Joshua, Joshua 14, if we look at verse 6, the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, the giants, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron, Hebron, to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriat Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. So Caleb gets the area of Hebron. Now, if you look at a map, Jerusalem is kind of in the center of Israel, and if you go down southward, you're going to go to Bethlehem, and then a little further south from there, you get to Hebron. Okay, so that's where it basically is in the country. So Caleb gets Hebron. Now, it's a very interesting guy. I'd like to talk about him too, but we're going to move on and go to the next part, chapter 15. Now Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, chapter 15, verse 13, he gave a share among the children, now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kiriat Arba, which is Hebron. Now that was what we read already, right? He got Hebron. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. These great, large, giant people. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir, formerly the name of Debir was Kiriat Sefer. And Caleb said, "He who attacks Kiriat Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Achsa, my daughter, as wife." So this is the scene. Caleb is there. He's got Hebron. There's this town nearby called Kiriat Sefer. And he says, "Whoever takes that town gets my daughter Achsa as wife." Now, I don't know how she felt about that. Doesn't really say at this point. But he makes this grand statement. Now, what do we know about Caleb? He's a Kenizzite, but what do we know about the kind of person he is? What did he just do?
He's a warrior.
He's a warrior. And who does he want for his daughter? Another warrior. Like, he's like, "I just took over these guys. I threw out these three giants at the age of 85, and I want somebody just like that who's going to be for my daughter. I want them to be somebody brave who's going to go and take over this city and get these Canaanites out of here." Like, he didn't want, you know, just anybody. He wanted somebody like him in a certain way. So, here's our protagonist. Here's our person we want to look at. Verse 17. So, Othniel, that's how you say it in Hebrew, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Achsa, his daughter, as wife. Now, it was so that when she came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. And then there's the kind of story gets compressed here a little bit. So she, then Achsa, dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said, "Give me a blessing. Since you've given me land in the south, give me also the springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So she ends up in a pretty good situation. The springs, that's like the most important thing you can have, right? So, but here's Othniel, and he comes along, and he gets the bride of the daughter of Caleb, and then other land and springs along with it. And this is this wonderful area where it's really beautiful there. It's the hill country of Judea. You go up there, it's a beautiful area, and it's not too far from where the grave cave of Abraham and Isaac, they're all buried there in that cave right nearby Hebron. And so this is where they ended up, right? So this is our first introduction to Othniel. What do we know about him so far? He was brave enough to go take this city. And he was waiting for that challenge, you know. He was prepared. He got ready and he said, I'm going. Now, if we jump forward to Judges. Yes. If you look in Judges chapter 1. The same story does appear. And so you kind of have a little bit of overlap between Joshua and Judges. Like if you look in verse 12 of chapter 1, Caleb said, whoever attacks Kiriath Sepher and takes it to him, I'll give my daughter Aksa as wife. And so we have this whole same story, same exact thing. She got the upper and lower springs, and that's what we know. Okay, now, what do we know? What happened after Joshua died? Who ruled the country? Who was the leader of the people after Joshua died?
It really wasn't. It became
the judges.
The judges. Whoever was the strongest.
Well,
or was it Othniel?
Well, we'll get there in a second. But one of the key verses of Judges that happened, that you kind of like, if you just flip to the very last page of Judges, the very last verse, and this is the way it, and this verse, it does appear in other places. This is just the easiest place to find it. It says this: in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that did not turn out very well. Joshua died, and he said, guys, if you want to follow the Lord, remember at the end of the book of Joshua, we're not looking at it, but he said, as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. You decide who you will serve. We're going to follow the Lord. You decide who you'll serve, but we'll follow the Lord. And they all said, oh, we're going to follow the Lord forever. And that, sadly, let's look at chapter 3 of Judges. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, these are the nations, chapter 3, verse 1, which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it, namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites who dwelt in Mount Lebanon, Mount Baal Hermon, to the entrance of Hamat, and they were left that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So there were certain tribes that weren't all driven out. They had, the children of Israel were given this commandment, go get rid of the nations that were in there because their idolatry has become so bad that they can't do this anymore. They were sacrificing their children. There was all kinds of evil happening in their idol worship and in the way they treat each other. And God said, it's enough of that. You know, these guys have, their sin has, there's a place where it said that God kept the Israelites in Egypt in slavery until the sin of the Canaanites had like filled up, you know. Like it got so bad that God said, okay, these guys, now you have to go in and stop this. But the Israelites were not able to remove them all. They were not committed enough, whatever. And the Lord left some of these people in there, and it was a test for them. And so if we look at chapter 3, verse 5, thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. And that is where we find the children of Israel at verse 7. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. And therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them? Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim, so the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And then we have verse 12. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab. So we have this. This becomes a pattern, you see. And Othniel is actually the first judge. So here's this guy. He grew up in the conquest of the land. Then he took the challenge to go and take this one place where nearby where Caleb had gotten rid of these giants, and he was brave enough to step forward in faith and say, I'll go do that. Out of all the hundreds of thousands of people in Israel, he was the one who said, I'll go do that. And then finally, as all of Israel starts to turn away from the Lord, and they did evil, they forgot the Lord, it's him who says here, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel. He judged. What that means is he became like sort of the leader of the nation. He was the one they would bring their issues to. He was the one, he became the judge, you know, like, it doesn't mean king, it's not, but kind of the head of the legal system, like if you would, like he became kind of the leader of the country, but he was the first one that they called a judge. So what can we notice about, because this really becomes the pattern of the whole book of Judges. So what can we notice about this guy that it could be an encouragement for us today?
Ooh. He probably prayed. I mean, he sought the Lord, as Joshua, you know, said to the people earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who will you serve? So he took that into his heart. He trusted God. God was first.
Yeah. Well, he was definitely part of a family of faith, right? Like his brother, Caleb. Now, this is Caleb's younger brother, it says. So we don't really know how much distance is between there. But he was definitely an older man at this time as well. Like how much younger could he have been? Like Caleb was 85 when he took Hebron. Then Joshua dies later on. And then he becomes the judge after 8 years of... So this is not a young man. But he comes from a family of faith where his faith is important to him. Israel turned against the Lord, right? Like they backslid. Has anybody here ever had that experience?
They did it multiple times, over.
7 times.
Now, the thing is that we, like, it's really easy for me, like, to, like, read this and, like, kind of be like, those children of Israel, you know? Those children of Israel, these backsliders, like, how could they possibly, after what God did for them, like, you just came into the land, you got all this land that, you got into houses that you didn't build, you received all this inheritance from the Lord, And then you're going to just turn away from the Lord and follow those idols that you were sent to get rid of? Like, it's so easy for me to kind of judge them. Like, how could you possibly do that? But at the same time, like, to be really honest, like, yeah, it's easy. It's easy when you are, finally you have peace, right? You're stopped fighting, so the land's at peace, and then you get kind of lax, and you think, oh, things are fine, and you start to not protect yourself from the temptations around you, and you start to mix in with whatever evil is going on around you, and then next thing you know, you are far away from the Lord, and it's been 8 years. Like, how did that just happen? How did that just happen? And this, so on the one hand, it's obvious this is like, how could they do that? But on the other hand, like, except for the grace of God, there I go, just like them. I'm just like them.
Can I interject?
Yeah. They were supposed to be educating.
And they're all missing in action.
The Levites seem to be missing in action. Sadly, there's a horrible story about a Levite in the book of Judges who just completely, he's in it just for the money, and he's just, whoever pays him the most money, that's where he's going to go. There's a very famous sermon called 10 Shekels and a Shirt by a guy, and it's like one of the most listened to messages on the internet. If you go find that somewhere, it's called 10 Shekels and a Shirt, and this guy talks about the story of that Levite. But at this time, the Levites, they weren't doing their job. They had, I don't know, where were they?
The same as our generation. You know, we're one generation from total disbelief.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting how easy we forget.
You know what I see here, though, is what a merciful, faithful God.
Because,
You know, they're doing evil in the sight of the Lord until they get to this place where, wow, now they cry out. And he immediately responds.
Mm.
I mean, you know, our attitude is, you guys deserve it.
But, yeah.
That's not God.
Yeah, if I would have been God... if I would have been God and says that, you know, so he sold them into the hand of this king, Kushan-Rishathaim, and they served him for 8 years. What that means is they had to pay tribute, right? That's what that means, basically. So that all of a sudden this king came over and said, you now are going to give me taxes. And they said, they couldn't stand against this person, and so they served this other king. And they did that for 8 years. If it would have been me, I'd have been like, I just did all this stuff for you, brought you in here 8 years. I'll give you 40 years of serving this other king. You know, like he is very gracious, actually.
And I mean, I can look at me personally, and if God wasn't gracious with me.
Mm.
So if you put it
Just
on you.
Right.
You know, you can put it in perspective then of carrying, you know, his covenant through.
Mm.
He was not going to let that covenant die.
Mm.
He had that bond with them. So anyway, but it's a blessing to all of us.
Mm.
Because of who he is. So.
Yeah, because of who he is, that gracious God. Verse 9, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer. That means they didn't cry out to him for 8 years. Like, have you been in that situation where you're like,
I'll endure.
I can do this. I can put up with this. I can handle this. And then finally, we cry out to the Lord for help. So these guys are in a situation of sinfulness and economic oppression, that were was like caused by their sinfulness. And then finally, they come together. And, I mean, sadly, it is that way with us as people. Like, when there's a common enemy, sometimes that all of a sudden unites us and we remember our priorities. And we go, hey, wait, I'm a Christian. Like, that's what's most important to me. I know I haven't been to church in like 6 months, but I got to get back to church now, you know. I got to get back in fellowship. I got to get back in the Word. Because I'm a Christian, because now all of a sudden I realize that because somebody is attacking me or whatever, or I'm going through some difficulties. So we can forget.
No matter how good your intentions are, you spend too much time with the ungodly, and they're gonna pull you in before you pull them out.
I went to a Christian high school, so yes. I went to this Christian high school, and the principal there, he used to always use this analogy of like, if you stand on a table, and somebody tries to, you try to pull someone up, and they're trying to pull you down from the table, which one's easier, you know? And I don't know why he's, I don't know where he came up with that, but yeah, the idea that we have to be careful who is influencing us. And these guys are bringing it into their own families and making kind of covenants. Like, that's a covenant that you're making with these people who are worshiping other gods. And then you say, well, it's not so bad. You can worship our gods and we can worship your gods. And we'll have this kind of like compromise because we all just want to get along.
I think we also had to. When they rejected God's offer. If you've ever been chased by hornets, you're going to get the heck out of the way. And God said he would have sent in the hornets. Here now they have to fight in order to conquer the land. They really lost on so many bases. Besides that, they had to wander 40 years.
Yeah. So, in that situation, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel. Now, I just think about Othniel. Now, he got this beautiful piece of land out by Hebron. He's got the springs. He's had some time now to sort of develop his land. And he's got his little water cascading waterfall he built over there. And he's got his little grass patch. And he's got his lounge chairs by the... And he's got this beautiful like setup area where he's got his horses over on that side, and he's got his sheep over here, and it's a beautiful sheep area, and he's like, I did all the work. I took the Canaanites out of my area. But then the Lord raised him up, and he didn't just enjoy what he already had. He didn't just say, I'm staying here. You guys deal with your problems. I've got my space. He involved himself in the needs of the community. Like, he involved himself in what was happening. And he answered the Lord's call. And so I see kind of like a progression where he takes one small step of faith and takes over this town. And God uses him. And then God blesses him. And then he's willing to take an even bigger step of faith and judge the whole nation. Like, if you think about the progression of what must have happened in that time, we don't have all those details, but that's how it works. You take one small step of faith, then you're ready to take a little bit of a bigger step of faith. And then you're ready to take another step of faith that might be a little bigger than that. And as you keep saying yes to the Lord, you don't know where that's going to end up. Like, I don't think that Othniel, when he took over that town, was like, and I can't wait till I judge this whole nation. Like, I don't think I don't think that's what was happening. But as we take steps of faith, you know, there's the verse that says, God is not mocked, a man reaps what he sows. You sow to the flesh, you get the flesh. You sow to the spirit, you get the spirit. So here's Othniel, he's sowing to the spirit. He is taking small steps of faith. He's getting a wife along the way. Ends up with some land. But he's not done. He's still waiting for the Lord. So what, you know, what kind of steps of faith might God be asking us to take? You know, it just doesn't seem to end for me, you know, like, I'm like, okay, I took this step of faith, so when do I get to stop taking steps of faith? That, I haven't got there yet. And, you know, like, so for me, I grew up in a family that moved from California to Rhode Island to plant a church. My dad felt like he should start a Calvary Chapel church in Rhode Island. In the East Coast. And we were from California. I was born in San Diego. So I grew up in this like step of faith where we went from here to there. We planted a church. We had a Bible study in our living room with one other family for a year or so. Then we had another family join us, and little by little, and now there's this whole church there that has existed for 30 years, you know. And it's amazing to see that. So I grew up in that. And then the Lord said, well, why don't you go to Israel and serve me in Israel? And I'm like, well, that wasn't such a big step for me because I had already done this other step when I was a kid. You know, I was growing up in that. And so as we take some steps of faith, we see that the Lord will use that as a launching spot for the next step of faith. And so, you know, I don't think that ever stops. Like if you get to the point in your life where you're like, I'm done with any steps of faith, I'm going to sit by my river and I'm going to enjoy my cascading waterfall and watch my sheep, then I think we've kind of like lost what the Lord might be calling us to do. And anyway, here's Othniel. He sets the pace for the entire next period of Israel's history. And so after him, there come other judges that kind of follow in his footsteps. But this is the guy who set the pace. And Israel and the land had rest for 40 years. That's a pretty good season, you know? That's a pretty good season. Now, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. So as we think about our own lives and think about this guy's example, he said yes to the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Lord gave him the strength to do that thing. I would imagine that people are crying out to the Lord, but you also have this sense of, here's a king. This is a king. We have no king. We're a bunch of loose tribes who are related, but we have no king. How are we going to get rid of this guy from taking 20% of our grain or whatever he was doing? How can we get rid of this? There's no way. It's bigger, but Othniel said yes to the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Lord gave him the strength he needed. So maybe we can think about our own life and what steps of faith in this season of life that I'm in right now, what step of faith is the Lord asking me to do to on that next ladder of faith, you know, that staircase of just a little bit of a bigger step. What is the Lord asking me? Is there anything else you want to point out from this passage as we bring this together? Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, of course.
I feel for myself, the Lord has been asking me to have childlike faith. And I'm like a thinker, trying to figure everything out. We've done, you know, all this. I've always been like that. My husband, he thinks too much, you know. But he's like, his ways are not our ways. Like, I try to figure it out, and it's like, why did it work out like that, Lord? You know what I mean? But to realize, it might sound silly, but God is God. You know, forget about it. You're not going to figure it out. And just have your way. You know what I mean? That's why, especially if my grandson getting saved last Tuesday. That was a miracle.
Yeah.
And to figure it all out, I mean, I'm still in awe, but what I'm saying is there's so many things. I want just childlike faith and just to give it to him. Daddy, God, take it. And that's what I, my quiet time this morning, I felt like he said, come to me, I'm your father, your daddy, God, and just give it to me and be a child and enjoy your life. That's what I felt like he said. You know, because sometimes I just get so caught, you know. I'm worried and anxious and trying to figure it out and get discouraged and then depressed.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to be a child. I want you to be happy and have fun. Give it to me. That's what he told me this morning. That's it. And it sounds
just give it to the Lord.
But
yeah.
I know it's hard, but it's worth it. Hello?
Yeah.
Be free.
No, that's right. Yeah. Right on. I identify with that completely. I totally get it. Yeah. What else encourages us in here? Anything else?
His grace, you know, to keep forgiving. I'm sorry.
No, I was just thinking of this. They had, or Othniel, he had faith to walk with God. And I think of in our life together, we've gone through several traumas, you know, where Ryan lost his job. I had a little job that kept us going until he decided what he was doing. And when you go through that kind of thing and you lose your main source of income, it really can shake you up. And it can shake us up for a while.
Yeah.
So we stuck to that prayer. And so years later, he lost another job.
Yeah.
And so now when we go through issues, I keep coming back, okay, Lord, you have protected us. 38 years that we've been married. And I can just rest in it and allow God to work.
Yeah.
It's just been amazing to see it. Because before that, before we had her, I still
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I've seen God do so much, and still I panic about the simplest things. Like, it's like, it's just easy to panic. So, or, yeah.
I was just thinking, we get all shook up with trials. But, and we see them as stumbling blocks, but really, God wants to see us maybe have us look at them as stepping stones.
Absolutely. Looking at trials as stepping stones.
Instead of stumbling blocks.
Instead of stumbling blocks.
And I grow my faith when my faith is tested.
Yeah. Strengthen those muscles a little bit. Yeah. Wow. Well, I was just going to say, that's very good. And sounds like you how did you say that? Stumbling blocks? Steps instead of stumbling blocks? Are you like writing like preacher outlines? Like, this sounds like something like somebody should. that's pretty good.
We see trials. These things that block our God wants us to look at it with a different eye instead of, you're not blocking my growth, but you're helping me grow. We only grow through our trials. If I've got it easy all the time, I'm weak.
Don't be complacent as you grow.
Yeah.
It's like it says in James, count all joy when you have trials.
Yeah.
Your faith.
That's one of those verses I hate when people tell me.
I don't like it either. But it's there in the Bible.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
But you do it all, we have to remain teachable.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Remain teachable. Remain teachable and remain willing to take those steps of faith. So I think we can just finish off with some prayer time. We can take 5 minutes, and whoever wants to pray, just pray, and we'll close it off with that.